This is JIS News. Coming up, National Insurance Scheme to pay additional $1.5 billion in benefits over the next fiscal year. Government implements streetlight energy-saving initiative and the Road Safety Unit to conduct comprehensive analysis of fatal road crashes for 2012. Stay with us. Details after this break.
Back up your garbage and let us collect it. Jamaica's beauty is our duty.
NSWMA. Now the news. The National Insurance Scheme, NIS, will pay out an additional $1.5 billion in benefits over the 2013-2014 fiscal year. This is due to the increase in the wage ceiling, which became effective on January 7. NIS contributions during the period will amount to $1.4 billion, leaving a gap of $100,000 between benefits and collections. However, Acting Director of Social Security in the Ministry of Labor and Social Security, Denzel Thorpe, says the insurable wage ceiling will be gradually increased in an effort to close this gap.
So every 2 years we'll do a benefit increase, but every year we'll do an increase of the insurable wage ceiling so that we'll continue to grow the contribution base and give the fund enough money for them to continue to do the investment, and eventually we should be able to close the gap between benefit payouts and the contributions that are coming in.
The NIS wage ceiling has been increased by $500,000 to $1.5 million, while benefits from the NIS will increase effective January 10. The government is implementing a streetlight energy-saving initiative with the start of a pilot project to be undertaken in three parishes over the next 6 months. The initiative is aimed at significantly reducing the cost to the budget to maintain the country's approximately 93,000 streetlights. Project activities got underway in Osborne Store, Clarendon, on Tuesday with the installation of the first set of solar-powered LED fixtures. Local Government and Community Development Minister Noel Arscott says the pilot phase will see some 5,000 LED panels being installed in Clarendon, as well as sections of St. Catherine and Kingston and St. Andrew.
Today, we are going to put up 10 of these lights, and we hope to be able to proceed to install lights all over Clarendon and then into other parts of Jamaica.
We hope that we'll be able to complete the program by mid-year, and then we can evaluate the results and determine where we go from there.
The initiative forms part of a memorandum of understanding signed in 2011 between the local government ministry and United States-based technology and engineering solutions firm Green Energy RG. The installation of the LED fixtures is being done at no cost to the government. The Jamaica Fire Brigade is reporting a spike in the number of fires since the start of the year when compared to the corresponding period over the past 5 years. These fires have resulted in 3 deaths since the start of the year. Public Relations Officer for the Jamaica Fire Brigade, Emilio Ebanks, is therefore encouraging increased vigilance among citizens in practicing fire safety. He says persons should also assist in the care of fire hydrants.
We are imploring persons, please don't burn. We are seeing a spike already, and that is putting a strain on the resources of the fire brigade. It's only 33 fire stations. We'll not be able to respond to every single situation as readily as we would like. So you need to do your part to prevent fires. And we have, as I said, over 20,000 fire hydrants. And of that amount, we have about 30-40% that is not working properly.
Mr. Ebanks says some fire hydrants have malfunctioned due to persons stuffing garbage into the valves on the hydrants. And the Road Safety Unit has been mandated to conduct a comprehensive analysis of all fatal road crashes for 2012. This in an effort to further improve safety on the nation's roads. Transport Works and Housing Minister Dr. Omar Davis is also encouraging all stakeholders involved in road safety to share information.
This is one area where there's no benefit for anyone retaining information, because the more data we have to be analyzed, I think we'll be able to reach some conclusions as to what are the areas of intervention.
Jamaica recorded a total of 258 road fatalities for 2012, some 49 less than the previous year. That was the JIS News. I'm Lorraine Mendez.
keep informed about happenings on the financial scene, a weekly feature of the Bank of Jamaica on JIS Radio this and every Wednesday. We will analyze current monetary developments, give you feedback on issues that impact on development in the country, to equip you with the information you need to understand the financial sector. On the financial scene, this and every Wednesday.
Welcome once again to On the Financial Scene. I am Alan Brooks. In a release dated January 7, 2013, the Bank of Jamaica indicated that at the end of December 2012, the bank's gross foreign reserves were in the order of just under $2 billion, while the net international reserves, the NIR, were just over $1.1 billion. This translates to the value of over 13 weeks of goods and services imports based on the value of imports for the 2012-2013 financial year. During his latest quarterly monetary policy report in November, the governor of the Bank of Jamaica, Brian Winter, sought to allay fears that the NIR was approaching dangerous levels in the absence of a new agreement with the International Monetary Fund. The governor emphasized that although Jamaica operates an open market, which means that there are no foreign exchange controls, the central bank had appropriate tools to ensure monetary stability.
We have to keep in mind throughout all of this that Jamaica operates an open market. We operate without any capital controls or any other controls on these accounts. That is what is reflected ultimately in the demand and supply conditions from day to day and the exchange rate. This system has served us very well over the years. We're going through a period now where there are adjustments that we are seeing that create concerns, but the adjustments are reflecting a combination of all of these factors. We have a capacity in the central bank to oversee these activities very carefully, and we also have tools at our disposal that can constrain activity through appropriate methods when it becomes excessive or dangerous towards our objectives. What are our objectives? Our objective is to maintain stability, monetary stability in the economy in the near term and over the medium term. So with that objective in mind, we use these tools, reserves, money market instruments, interest rates for that purpose, and we will continue to do so.
Governor of the Bank of Jamaica, Brian Winter, as he sought to emphasize the role of the central bank in ensuring stability in the foreign exchange market during his recent presentation of the central bank's latest quarterly monetary policy report. And before we leave you this week, here's an update. The Bank of Jamaica has released a consultative document on proposed enhancements to the legislation for deposit-taking sector. And this sector includes commercial banks, licensees under the Financial Institutions Act, and building societies. This policy paper proposes amendments to achieve a rational consolidation and enhancement of the framework for the prudential supervision of licensed deposit-taking institutions. The proposal takes into account international best practices, frameworks in certain jurisdictions such as Australia, Canada, and the US, emerging trends within the sector, external and domestic factors, and past experience as regards the effectiveness of existing provisions. The paper is now being circulated to commercial banks, merchant banks, building societies, and all other relevant stakeholders to facilitate industry discussion and consultation on the proposed enhancements to the bank's supervisory framework. This consultation paper is available on the Bank of Jamaica's website at www.boj.org.jm. And with that, Alan Brooks saying thanks for being with us and inviting you to join us same time next week.
This has been a production of the Jamaica Information Service.